walking and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Now it's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation.
What are you people? On dope?
Where you can toke.
I inhale. Frequently.
Or you can talk.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
Or you can toke and talk.
10 federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
While we talk about toke on Toker Talk Radio.
So by the way, when it comes to pot, you know, if you're 40 years old, you live in a log cabin in Oregon, you got 12 giant pot plants in your backyard, have a ball.
Live from beautiful Portland, Oregon at Rolla J Studios.
Hey, this is great.
Freedom, yes, freedom, cannabis.
Plus your calls live at 971-533-7111.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to the Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Gangway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
Holland, is it real? Don't tease me.
We're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years.
And now, here's your host, the guru of ganja graphics, the sultan of sativa statistics, and the worst nightmare of a reefer mad prohibitionist. A polite, perspicacious, productive pothead with a propensity for PowerPoint. Radical Russ Belleville.
Oh, yeah. Welcome back, everybody. It's hour two, Toker Talk Radio, where we let down what's left of my hair. And there's not very much of that. Have ourselves a good time here in beautiful legal Potland, Oregon, talking about weed, pot, ganja, herb, muggles, jive, tea. Dank, sticky, icky, chronic. Which one did I forget? Did I forget one? We ought to do that in the chat room. We ought to have a chat room battle. If you're not following our chat room, you can go to RadicalRust.com or CannabisRadio.com. On the live player there, there's a little like cartoon balloon thing. You click that, it opens up a separate window. You're in the chat room. I always thought it'd be fun if we had a chat room like a storm, like where we all typed in our favorite synonyms for weed, to see who could come up with the one that was like least known. I always pick the ones from like the early 20s, you know, muggles, jive, that kind of stuff. That could be a lot of fun. But get involved in our chat room out there. We got a lot of regulars that show up that are really well-informed people. So it's a great place to make some networking happen, have some great conversations about cannabis. Got all sorts of stuff to talk about in this hour too. Great piece out by Joel Warner on the International Business Times, entitled "Marijuana Has Become a Media Darling, But Are Journalists Too Soft on Pot?" Now, this echoes a concern that we hear from Christine Tatum out there in, Crispy Tater out there in Colorado, where she complains all the time that the media is not pointing out how weed is, you know, leads to violence and psychosis and stone mayhem on the freeway and all that kind of stuff, right? But, as usual, Warner does an extensive and pretty even-handed job talking about it. So we'll discuss that right after our first break. Also coming up on the show, an extra bit of radical ranting. That's right. We're going to have a bonus radical rant in hour two. This is something I wrote up yesterday while I was on break for Martin Luther King Jr. Day, which is a very important holiday to me. And I hope it's an important holiday to you out there. I think sometimes, especially us white folks, have this idea that it's the black holiday or something like that. And nothing could be further from the truth. You look into the legacy of Martin Luther King Jr., and especially as he was approaching, you know, the Memphis sanitation strike and his assassination, he was pulling some pretty radical stuff, kind of stuff you hear from Bernie Sanders these days. Talking very socialist about the need to protect our people and to fight the military-industrial complex and oppose foreign entanglement. So we're going to talk about that in a piece that I call "The Arc of Marijuana Reform is Long, But It Bends Toward Legalization." We'll get that right about 20-25 after our 420 break, you know, our safety meeting. And then in our third segment today, I'm going to go off the warpath because I got a new piece published in Huffington Post on their politics blog is updated just an hour ago, entitled "Hillary's Detractors Are Sexist. We Need a Woman President." And I kind of examine how there's a kind of, on the one hand, we can't be sexist against Hillary Clinton, but on the other hand, we're supposed to support her being president because she's a woman. Like, sexism is sexism, whether it's positive or negative, isn't it? Right? You know, there's all sorts of stereotypes you could say about, say, black fellas that are both, some are positive, some are negative, but they're still stereotypes. They're still racist, right? Doesn't matter whether it's positive or negative. You're not supposed to judge people, prejudge people based on these sorts of characteristics. So we're going to get into that. I'll talk about Hillary Clinton, my reaction to her debate performance against Bernie Sanders, who did a fantastic job pointing out how billionaires and Wall Street bankers never had to do any time, never got busted for anything, while kids who are using marijuana get locked up. All that's coming up, plus your calls at 971-533-7111. We're live on the Russ Belville Show from beautiful legal Potland, Oregon, right here on CannabisRadio.com.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Great websites today need expert web design and development and need to be e-commerce ready and mobile friendly. But building a marketable and profitable website can be an uphill climb. Ready to make your new website or replace your existing website? Think Orange as the new way to get in the black. Orange Hill Development works with Fortune 500 companies and offer the same top quality development service at a fraction of what other providers charge. Brands like Absolute, Carlsberg, and Nestlé trust Orange Hill Development. Find out why you should trust your website with Orange Hill. Contact Orange Hill for a consultation today at orangehilldevelopment.com.
You can find Radical Russ online everywhere. Gmail, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, YouTube, SoundCloud, Snapchat, LinkedIn, and Boise State University's 2400 baud modem bulletin board system from 1985.
From high atop Mount Soledad in San Diego, California, 100 feet above sea level. Good morning. It's Good News with cannabis nurse Heather.
This plant is amazing. Positive change is happening. We did it. No matter who you are, you can make a positive impact on the world.
I would rather be illegally alive than legally dead.
And that quote helped to give you strength.
Nurse Heather is only on CannabisRadio.com.
Good morning, cannabis nurse Heather.
The Russ Belville Show is proudly sponsored by the Marijuana Business Association. The MJBA, called by NBC News the Cannabis Chamber of Commerce, is the fastest growing business association in the fastest growing industry in America. I've been working with the MJBA for years, and I personally invite you to join the MJBA. MJBA also publishes the popular MJ Headline News on Facebook and the MJNewsNetwork.com, and Marijuana Channel 1 on YouTube. Visit MJBA.net for more details.
Pod 2.0. It's not your father's Woodstock weed. This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Thanks, Dan Michaels. And it's 9 after the hour, and we're looking at a piece in the International Business Times. It's entitled, "Marijuana Has Become a Media Darling, But Are Journalists Too Soft on Pot?" Written by Joel Warner, posted earlier today. Lengthy piece, but very well written. Joel's been doing some really good work on this issue. And it begins, and this is why it catches my attention, of course. It begins with mentioning my old pal, the Joker to my Batman, my one non-pot smoking friend, Kevin Sabet, from Project Sam, the misnamed Smart Approaches to Marijuana, or as I like to call it, Project Samuel, Smart Approaches to Marijuana Use Except Legalization. And he's complaining, in the opening paragraph, Sabet's complaining about how one of his press releases, citing the Substance Abuse Mental Health Services Agency, didn't raise the alarms of the media. And what it is that the state marijuana use estimates for 2013-2014 from SAMHSA showed that Colorado had risen to the nation's highest rate of monthly use of marijuana among teenagers aged 12 to 17. We'll count 12-year-olds as teenagers for this. And this was partly because marijuana use went up everywhere, almost everywhere. But the youth marijuana use increased, and D.C., Oregon, and Washington came in fourth, fifth, and sixth, right? And so Sabet, he thought, oh my God, here's the bombshell. Oh boy, when they hear about this, see, we legalized pot, and look what's happening, the kids are smoking pot. Oh, my hair's on fire. That's what he thought was going to happen. Problem was, the day before, National Institutes of Health Monitoring the Future came out and found that nationwide teen use fell slightly. So he rushed out a press release, and the media did not give 2/10 of a tick's turd. They didn't give 4/5 of a flea's fart about this hair on fire news release from Kevin Sabet. So the question is asked, and Kevin Sabet presents this, after decades of critical reporting on marijuana issues, if they bothered to cover the subject at all, have the media as a whole moved too far in the opposite direction? Are reporters and editors now so high on the topic of cannabis that they're going too soft on the subject? So they present a Google News analysis, and I'm assuming that Joel did this. We did a Google News analysis trying to figure out what got more press coverage, Monitoring the Future, which said, hey, nationwide use went down, and the SAMHSA piece that said, hey, Colorado went up, and it's number one now. And they found 10 times as many news articles, almost 10 times as many news articles on the positive story of marijuana use going down versus the marijuana use going up story. And so this is the question that this piece poses. And Joel does a great job here examining many different points of view on this. He gets another quote from Jeffrey Zinsmeister, the vice president of Project SAM, who says, quote, in fairness, there could be media fatigue on this. You have two stories on marijuana use surveys, and the first story gets all the coverage, and then people move on to the next thing. But he says the nearly 10 times as many headlines as, quote, I was surprised to see such a large swing on this, end quote. And if you look at the Google News analysis, the one that said that there was 10 times as much mention, you also have to understand that the Google News mentions that you're going to get come from many different sources. And the sources for the Google News feed are going to include things like, you know, Washington Post, the New York Times, and so forth. But they may also include a lot of our marijuana sources that we are, the marijuana media, people like me. So this is not, you know, very good data, a very good data set, really, to make any conclusions about. If the Weed Blog and High Times and all these other pro-marijuana sources are popping up with the same news story time after time, then the one or two Washington Post mentions of the other story aren't going to balance that out. And one thing we do know for sure is that the pro-marijuana legalization movement wipes the floor with the anti-legalization movement online. They're just, it's already, they're started on a tilted playing field, given the fact that most people on the internet tend to be younger, more educated, more liberal, right? Just for socioeconomic reasons. They're already starting on a tilted playing field. But beyond that, living online like I do means you can't pull any of this reefer madness bullshit anymore. The age of Google kills reefer madness. Anything that Kevin Sabet wants to say about the oh my gosh, SAMHSA says that there's Colorado's number one. All anyone has to do is do a quick Google to find out that Colorado's always been close to number one. It's been number one at different times throughout the history of marijuana in this country. Colorado's always had a lot of marijuana use. These latest things don't tell us much about what's going on. The other thing that people can find out with a quick Google is that statisticians that were interviewed about this said that there really wasn't that much of a difference in the numbers, that statistically speaking, it really didn't make much difference in the use rates of 12 to 17-year-olds. So this is something that is examined in this piece. And I, like I said, I think he did a really good job with this. Also interviewed in the piece, my former boss, Alan St. Pierre of Normal, says that in the 1980s, there was about 150 newspapers whose editorial boards were opposed to legalization. Now it's down to just 30 or 40. And even that may be a skewed statistic because there just may be fewer editorial boards now. Newspapers are kind of dying. But we, like I said, we are just mopping the floor in the online sphere when it comes to marijuana legalization. Whenever you see an online poll on any newspaper, you know, news site, whether it be national like MSNBC or Fox or, a newspaper like The Times or The Wall Street Journal or even your local TV news website, when there is a poll about marijuana legalization or medical marijuana, we dominate those polls. Absolutely dominate those polls. Now, another consideration, and Taylor West from the NCIA brings this up, would be Occam's razor. Occam's razor just says, given many solutions, many explanations to a situation, the simplest one is most likely the correct one. And she says, quote, "I would contend that if Project Sam is seeing more coverage of the positive aspects of legalization, it's because the positive aspects of legalization are outweighing the negative. There are absolutely things that need to be looked at and fixed, and that's an ongoing process. But all of this sky is falling rhetoric that people like them have used for years hasn't come true." End quote. And that's another point to be made here, is the Google gives us the opportunity to go back and look at the statements from guys like Kevin Sabet and judge their predictive qualities. For example, you can go back to the early rhetoric of Project Sam from 2012, when they kept hammering at the point that marijuana legalization for its tax revenues was never going to work. Taxing marijuana was never, it was a false dream, it's a pipe dream, it's pie in the sky thinking, because alcohol and tobacco only take in 1/10 the tax revenue that they cost us in social costs. For every $1 we bring in alcohol and tobacco taxes, society suffers $10 in social costs, and there's no reason to think marijuana would be any different. Go back and Google that stuff. I call it the Sabet conjecture. If you Google Sabet conjecture, you'll find all sorts of quotes on this. Haven't heard much of that lately, have you? Haven't heard Kevin Sabet bring that up very often lately, have you? Why? Well, because Washington and Colorado have raised $200 million in tax revenues. Which begs the question, where's the $2 billion in social costs? Where's the $2 billion in where's the $200 million in social costs? Let's not even consider the savings from law enforcement for all the charges for marijuana dropping by 80% in Colorado and 66% in Washington. Don't even consider that. Let's make that a wash. Just let's suppose it's an absolute break even, that there's $200 million in social costs for the $200 million in taxes we've taken in. You can't even show that, much less $2 billion, right? So the Google gives us the power to go back and look at what people said and were their predictions right? And Project Sam's predictions have been wrong. On the other hand, our predictions have been largely right. We said you legalize marijuana, it's not really going to change much as far as the kids use, because kids that want to use are using. Kids that want to use are using. That monitoring the future survey, one of the headlines that, you know, Kevin Sabet's complaining that the media didn't pick up, is picking up too much of the good news from monitoring the future. My complaint is the media didn't pick up enough of the good news from monitoring the future. While some people were pointing out that we had the highest rates of use in Colorado among teenagers, they're not pointing that out that in monitoring the future, we saw for the first time in 40 years of asking high school seniors, how easy would it be for you to get a hold of some marijuana? For the first time in 40 years, we had fewer than 80% say that it was easy or fairly easy to get a hold of.
That's why we had always said it's not going to change much for the kids. They've always had their access. They've always said between 80 and 91% have said it's easy or fairly easy to get a hold of marijuana. So our predictions are coming true, their predictions are proven false, and that's why the media is on our side now, because we have facts, science, reason, logic, compassion, evidence, truth, and love on our side.
Get a life, will you, people? I mean, for crying out loud, it's just a TV show.
It's not just a TV show, Mr. Shatner. It's Star Trek, for God's sake. Hey, happy 420, everybody, from the Pacific time zone. Hope you're having a good day. We've got the strong silicone bong here, and believe it or not, a bud I found when I was cleaning up the office to pack. I thought I was out of herb, and I found some. Ah, Oregon problems.
The next generation of vaporizers has arrived. Voober vaporizers are blazing the way with unparalleled technology for oil, concentrate, or dry flower pens. Providing unsurpassed customer service and expert craftsmanship, Voober vaporizers use cutting-edge technology, providing a power-packed, smoother vapor with a lifetime guarantee. Experience vaporizing the way it was meant to be. The Voober way.
The Russ Belville Show. Where the truth about marijuana gets more than a minute to speak.
NORML stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks are far less than those posed by legal drugs.
The Fingerboard Extension has fretted instruments to enhance your creativity. It has new and used guitars and banjos from beginning to high class. The Fingerboard Extension has National Resophonic, Husson Dalton, Larrabee, Heritage and Recording King guitars, and Mike Ramsey, Wildwood, Gold Tone, and Recording King banjos. The Fingerboard Extension also has drum stuff, used gear, and parts. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension, downtown Corvallis, Oregon at 120 Northwest 2nd, or check out the inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com and reverb.com.
Pod 2.0. It's not your father's Woodstock weed. This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Travel news. I'm headed to Boise, Idaho. A week from today, I'll be participating in a marijuana town hall with Idaho State Police, the Idaho Drug Czar, a Boise State criminal justice professor, a LEAP speaker, and former Representative Tom Trail, who tried to pass industrial hemp in the Gem State. That's going on next Tuesday at 7 p.m. Mountain Time. I'll try to stream it live on CannabisRadio.com if possible. Otherwise, it'll be on my Periscope. Also, lots of travel coming up in February. Check out my schedule on RadicalRust.com to find out where and when I will be. We'll get that posted very soon.
We must wage what I have called total war against public enemy number one.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
That marijuana, pot, grass, whatever you want to call it, is probably the most dangerous drug.
Some think there won't be room for them in jail. We'll make room.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it, and didn't inhale.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Radical rant.
The arc of marijuana reform is long, but it bends toward legalization. On yesterday's Martin Luther King Jr. Day, I found myself contemplating how long it will take for us to fully establish marijuana legalization in America. Speaking on March 25, 1965 in Montgomery, Alabama, about the struggle for black civil rights, Dr. King answered, quote, "How long? Not long, because the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice," end quote. It was 103 years between the Emancipation Proclamation and Dr. King's speech. It was 95 years between the 15th Amendment in Dr. King's speech. It was 4.5 months later that the Voting Rights Act of 1965 was signed into law, and another 43 years before the election of Barack Obama as president. Indeed, it was 146 years between emancipation and the first black president, and that's a long moral arc. Much happened in the intervening 146 years to lead up to Obama's election. The South endured a bitter period of Reconstruction. The KKK was formed, and vigilante lynchings of blacks happened twice a week from 1880 to 1930, and continued to as late as my birth year of 1968, or even 1998 if dragging James Byrd to death with a pickup truck in Texas is counted as a lynching. Football, baseball, and the military were integrated shortly after World War II. Schools were integrated, and Rosa Parks and the bus boycotts began in the 1950s. Then comes Dr. King and the Birmingham Jail, the Edmund Pettus Bridge, and I Have a Dream. In other words, civil rights for African Americans developed incrementally over time through many personal and political battles. Dr. King pressed for every advance possible, but he understood that he lived in a nation of white supremacy and had to work within the political structures of his time. While Dr. King spoke on the National Mall in 1963 of, quote, the fierce urgency of now, end quote, and warned of embracing the, quote, tranquilizing drug of gradualism, end quote, he was never deluded enough to think he could run for president in 1964 and win and thereby enact his civil rights agenda. He knew he had to pressure President Johnson and the white majority for the civil rights victories that were possible in 1965. Dr. King, while believing that a colorblind society was the ultimate goal, knew that it would take many compounding lesser successes to achieve it. On the day before his assassination in 1968, he explained how he had, quote, seen the promised land, end quote, but that he, quote, may not get there with you, end quote. Today, the promised land for our community of cannabis consumers is the day when marijuana is as legal and accepted as alcohol, when a bud is as non-controversial as a Bud Light. However, we don't get to that mountaintop to see the promised land without our emancipation, decrim, integration, medical marijuana, and our Voting Rights Act, limited legalization. Which is why I get so incensed at what I call the stoners against legalization. Those pot smokers who want to jump right from slavery to Barack Obama. And in doing so, forego the victories we can win and enable the prohibition status quo to continue. Yesterday, I was alerted to a blog in Missouri that is dead set against legalizing medical marijuana in the Show Me State. No, it's not the website of the state police. Not the website of the local drug rehab, not some megachurch. It's another example of the stoners against legalization cancer that has metastasized. What used to be limited to stoners and medical marijuana states fighting legalization to protect their status quo has become stoners in prohibition states fighting medical marijuana for a mirage of true legalization. It's a very long, meandering, and poorly written read, but the gist of it is that the medical marijuana proposal from New Approach Missouri, Show Me Cannabis, and Missouri Normal is a wolf in sheep's clothing designed to enrich its backers, designed to enrich Big Pharma, designed to enrich the prohibition profiteers, designed to enrich the state. It's laden with onerous and arbitrary rules and regulations stamped forever into the Constitution, and only detracts from the all-volunteer, no-money, no-polling true legalization that would treat marijuana like tomatoes. This is a trend that's held true since California's Prop 19 in 2010 and throughout every campaign to legalize marijuana, but this is the first time I've seen it in effect for medical marijuana. There will never be a legalization or medical marijuana plan that could make the ballot and pass that will satisfy these stoners against legalization. There will always be some doom and gloom scenario that they'll come up with where creating some measure of protection for cannabis consumers in the future is worse than the kick in the doors and shoot the dogs prohibition they suffer from now. How can anyone take seriously an analysis that presumes, quote, the Department of Health and Human Services could potentially declare the penalty for having one single plant too many in a growing facility is $8 trillion. Really? $8 trillion. Well, why don't they just declare that the penalty is $10 quadrillion and bamboo shoots under the fingernails and imprisonment in a cell surrounded by a moat guarded with sharks with friggin' lasers on their head? Jesus, the source of this infection is the deluded belief that marijuana should be treated like tomatoes. It's that hippy-dippy, pie-in-the-sky, healing of the nation's fantasy that marijuana is perfect and all good and everybody else thinks of it that way, instead of the cold hard facts that even tax and regulate legalization doesn't poll above 50% in Missouri. Much less this treat it like tomatoes legalization that literally has no age limits in it. It would forbid the state from making age limits for cannabis. That would go down in flames from the minute of the first attack ad. It'd come on with the scary music proclaiming, New Approach Missouri wants to let your neighbor fill his backyard with stinky pot plants and pack his garage with drug dealer amounts of marijuana. Their proponents seriously think marijuana, a mind-altering drug that impairs the development of children's brains, is like the tomatoes you grow in your backyard. And of course, no infection of the Stoners Against Legalization delusion would be complete without the attendant normal supports prohibition delusion. Yeah, right. Guys like Dan Veets, normal board member, head of Missouri Normal, a winner of the Martin Luther King Association's Keeping the Dream Alive Award, a guy who's worked tirelessly over 40 years for legalization for less money than most attorneys make. Yeah, he's secretly carving out a Goldman Sachs-like fortune by ending police harassment of medical marijuana patients and providing them safe access to medicine. Yeah, that's the ticket. You know, just like how Greenpeace supports whale killing. Like how the NAACP supports black voter suppression and how the ASPCA supports animal cruelty. Because, you know, if any of those things were eliminated, those organizations, well, they'd lose a lot of money. What's most pathetic about this is that finally, and ahead of most predictions, Missouri has the organization, funding, and language that could actually bring medicine to sick patients. But the Stoners Against Legalization would work with the cops, courts, rehabs, drug testers, and prison guards to maintain the status quo of prohibition without having anything else to offer to defeat prohibition except empty promises of all-volunteer signature efforts for treat it like tomatoes, quote, true 100% non-prohibitionist legalization of this amazing non-toxic miracle plant, end quote, that will never make the ballot and would go down in flames if it did. Now, some of this is just jealousy. These people who so truly believe in marijuana really do want it legalized, and they're upset that they can't get any support from successful organizations and deep-pocketed funders. They can't accept that perhaps their failing strategy and tactics are the reasons why. So it must be some sort of elaborate conspiracy theory. You can see it in the, why doesn't Normal support our true legalization plan? Wails. They really think the only thing keeping them from electoral victory is that money and support, ignoring entirely that their plan for legalization doesn't poll well and would lose in a landslide. These are the types of people who would have told their fellow slaves that the Emancipation Proclamation is bullshit, because it isn't true 100% non-slavery emancipation. It doesn't guarantee voting rights, interracial marriage, and sitting anywhere on the bus, or stagecoach, I suppose, immediately. That Abraham Lincoln, he's just a slavery profiteer, they'd proclaim. If he really supported black equality, he'd support true emancipation that contains the Voting Rights Act, Loving v. Virginia, and Rosa Parks, all in 1862. They'd have mustered all the fellow slaves they could to fight for the Confederacy, promising that once the Civil War was over, they and their fellow slaves would convince all the white folks and plantation owners to sign their true emancipation petition. We all long for the day when we experience true legalization of cannabis. But we don't get there by denying the patients of Missouri the freedom to use medical marijuana. Every state that has legalized marijuana so far has legalized medical marijuana first, and the one prohibition state that tried to go straight to legalization suffered the worst defeat for legalization in the 21st century. It's my radical rant, extra radical rant for you, and if you'd like the transcript of that, you can find it at marijuanapolitics.com. My radical rant from hour one is available at hightimes.com today, so check those out. We got a piece on marijuana politics almost every day, and a piece on High Times twice a week. Also occasional writing for cannabisculture.com when I'm feeling Canadian. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going off the warpath. I'm going to talk a little bit about Hillary Clinton and sexism in politics. You're listening to The Russ Belville Show. I'm Radical Russ, live in Potland, Oregon.
This is The Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Ganjapreneur.com, your guide to the cannabis business world. Ganjapreneur.com is a comprehensive resource for cannabis professionals and entrepreneurs. Download the Ganjapreneur app on your smartphone or tablet to catch up on cannabis industry news, scroll through our daily job listings, and learn about successful cannabis companies, executives, and investors. Ganjapreneur.com, helping Ganjapreneurs grow.
You're not high. You're listening to The Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
The Supreme Court is wrong on the Second Amendment.
Okay, maybe you're high too.
Educator, author, and advocate Dr. Mitch Earlywine is here to tackle the burning issues.
And I'm here to clear up the myths about cannabis and burn them away with science.
CannabisRadio.com presents a no-holds-barred platform that seeks to redefine and revolutionize the entire scope of the cannabis culture while opening the door for more to join the cannabis crusade.
Dr. Kevin Hill.
You can't ignore the fact that, like alcohol, most people who use don't have a problem, so I think that you need to think about policy in that way while educating people properly about marijuana. I think that's the way to go.
Burning Issues, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Imagine life without taxes. Let New Era Certified Public Accountants, NewEraCPAs.com, handle your cannabis 280E and tax strategy. Get your business prepared with New Era CPAs Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. NewEraCPAs.com, with years of experience in the industry, we are one of the nation's leading accounting firms for growers, dispensaries, and ancillary companies from Washington to California. NewEraCPAs.com.
Warning, hits taken on this show are larger than they appear. Do not try this at home. These people are professionals. Or at least they pay me to say that. This is Dan Michaels from danmichaelsaudio.com, and you're listening to Radical Russ on cannabisradio.com.
Welcome back. Thanks, Dan Michaels. 39 after the hour, 21 minutes away from 5 o'clock, where you'll get a chance. No, wait. Stoner Jesus isn't on today. So, never mind. It's Tuesday. I'm all thrown off because it's my first day back, and usually that's Monday, and that means Stoner Jesus. So, apologies. You'll catch Stoner Jesus tomorrow, Wednesday, 5 o'clock Pacific time, right here on CannabisRadio.com. Also, I just uploaded past interviews, drug war data mines, behind the headlines, and radical rants from November, December, and January into my SoundCloud account at Radical Russ on SoundCloud. And my apologies to my Twitter followers out at Radical Russ, because you got about like 60 or 70 tweets as I uploaded those files.
My bad. I thought those tweets were going out through the RB Show 420 Twitter account. And so I didn't mean to spam you. I feel bad about that. That's awful. But those clips are up there. So if you missed any of the interviews from the past, you can get them there. For complete shows, however, the only place you can get them is CannabisRadio.com. Exclusive podcast from CannabisRadio.com. So my apologies to folks out on SoundCloud. That's like, where's your podcast? Where's your whole show? Sorry, you have to listen to it a clip at a time on delay. So that's just the nature of moving on up and trying to make some money at this. That's, to be honest, to be frank about it. RadicalRust.com, my website, will be undergoing some changes, some upgrades, some fixes. I'm going to be moving my VIP accounts from 420 Radio over to the Russ Belville Show. And that's going to take some coding and some fixing. And what am I going to offer you that isn't available to the free listeners and all of that. So in addition to that, I'm trying to move out of this house, which I have to be out of in 12 days. Oh, my God. So, it's getting pretty hectic here at Rolla J Studios. So we're heading out on the road. In addition to being in Boise next Tuesday, I may be at two conferences here in Portland in the first week of February, Monday through Thursday. There's one called the Dispensary Next Conference on Monday and Tuesday. There's another one called Cannabis Collaborative Conference on Wednesday and Thursday. Then Friday and Saturday and Sunday, headed down to San Bernardino for the High Times Cannabis Cup that's happening down there. And cross your fingers, I might be representing the Sean Parker Adult Use of Marijuana Act on a panel, because they need someone to talk to the base. And apparently I'm the one who can handle the booze and the fruit being thrown at me and stuff. So, so I may be out there debating or representing or whatever it might be. Then the following weekend, February 13th and 14th, Valentine's weekend, once again in San Francisco, California, is the International Cannabis Business Conference. One of my favorite conferences. Check out internationalcbc.com if you want to go. They've got retired Surgeon General of the United States of America, Dr. Joycelyn Elders, is the keynote speaker. Joycelyn Elders, of course, famous for advocating masturbation as a family, for teenagers, right? That we should teach kids more about masturbation. Everyone, oh my God, she said the M word. It was the 90s. Everybody freaked the fuck out. Like, okay, come on, man. Like, really, do we need to promote masturbation to teenagers any more than they already know about it? I mean, I don't know about you. I was pretty well informed by the time I hit about 13 or 14. pretty well informed on the topic. Don't know how much the government talking to me about it might have made any difference, but anyway, Dr. Elders, of course, big supporter of medical marijuana as well. So she'll be presenting at internationalcbc.com. You can also hear from Andrew Sullivan from the Daily Dish, a well-respected conservative gay blogger. And who else is going to be there? Oh, Tommy Chong. Yes, Tommy Chong will be at the International CBC. Steve Bloom from Celeb Stoner will be doing an onstage interview. That should be a lot of fun. The following weekend, the 20th and 21st, actually it's the 20th, 21st, 22nd, is CannaCon in Seattle, Washington, and CannabisRadio.com is the official station of CannaCon, and we are hosting the VIP party, so that's going to be a lot of fun. We'll be giving you all the coverage we can from there. And then the last weekend of this month of February, headed back down to Dallas, Fort Worth, for the Southwest Cannabis Conference and Expo, and to fill in some more cities on my back tattoo. We got to put in Anchorage, Richmond, Columbus, and we got to add a little Jamaican flag. So good times coming up in February. Lots of travel for the Russ Belville Show, and we'll be streaming live to you from all sorts of places. So make sure you're following us. All right, I wanted to get to a little bit of, I guess it's radical ranting. It's really more off the warpath stuff. And that is Hillary Clinton. Because I was, you already know I'm a huge Bernie supporter. That's pretty obvious, right? And I'm also very anti-Hillary Clinton. I have I got lots of problems. You're going to hear some of them here with Hillary Clinton. But I was I watched the debate on Sunday, had it on the DVR, and I thought Bernie did a fantastic job highlighting her ties to Wall Street, highlighting her ties to the big health insurance industry, big pharma, you know, how, you know, it's more of the same if we elect Hillary Clinton, right? So in response to that, in the wake of that, I was looking up, you know, online what people were saying and writing. And so I found this blog on Huffington Post written by Lorraine Devon Wilkie, and it's entitled, "You Say You Want a Revolution, I Do Too, It's Why I Support Hillary Clinton." And in this blog, I found this prime example of cognitive dissonance that I find among a lot of Hillary Clinton supporters. Let me just give you a couple of paragraphs from her piece. She says, she opens with, "Culture is a wily beast, so difficult to manage, so impossible to predict. Yet it is exactly who and what we need to attend to honor, at this pivotal moment in our civic evolution. And culture, society, our trajectory as a nation, demands that we expand our thinking to embrace a different paradigm of leadership, to elect a female president of the United States." And then further along in the piece, there's a paragraph that reads, "Considering her impressive resume, decades of service, and the respect she's garnered around the world, it's stunning to note the sheer volume of irrational, disproportionate, and sexist negativity that comes her way, an onslaught that she remarkably endures and transcends." Well, for me, for you to be able to, like, complain simultaneously about sexist smears of Hillary Clinton and introduce support of her as our culture demands a female leader is remarkable. I don't abide the sexism that hounds Hillary Clinton's candidacy, negative or positive. My opposition to Hillary Clinton has nothing to do with her chromosomes, her genitalia, her hairstyle, and her choice of clothing, nor should anyone's support of her be based on those features. My opposition is achieved by listing all the issues I care about and matching up where the candidates and I disagree. On some of my most key issues, Hillary Clinton is indistinguishable from a long fabled to exist moderate Republican. Or she's just recently come around to my position after Bernie Sanders has forced her to tack to the left. Specifically, my top 10 issues, in no particular order, where she loses my support, as do most Republicans. Number one, foreign policy. Well, Hillary supports regime change in every instance, Libya, Saddam. She voted for the Iraq War, and seriously, anybody who could be fooled into trusting George W. Bush loses my vote right there. Number two, privacy. Well, she voted twice for the USA Patriot Act. Bernie voted against it. Banking. Well, come on, she's owned by Wall Street. She opposes a new Glass-Steagall law, she wouldn't break up the too-big-to-fail banks, and she'd probably keep Goldman Sachs involved in the Treasury. Labor. Huh. Well, she supports every free trade agreement from NAFTA to the recent TPP, except now she pretends that she doesn't support Trans-Pacific Partnership, because again, Bernie has pulled her to the left. The death penalty. She supports the death penalty, despite hundreds of documented death row exonerations. Healthcare. She wants to keep the private insurers and big pharma in business, but maybe with slightly lower profits. Education. She wants something called debt-free tuition, which still sounds to me like not free education. Gay marriage rights. Oh, she's all for it. Now, when it's a fait accompli, not when she could have helped, she was anti-gay marriage as recently as 2013 with her whole one man, one woman, leave it to the state stand. Number nine, corrupt politics. Well, come on, she's a current beneficiary of the corrupt political finance system. She's got an eight-figure net worth. She's been doing all those Clinton Foundation sweetheart arms deals where the countries that donated to Clinton Foundation somehow ended up with better arms deals when she was Secretary of State. And, of course, criminal justice, marijuana legalization. Well, she has taken lots of money from private prison corporations in the campaign. And as far as marijuana goes, she'd continue Obama's, you know, this federal prohibition, but look the other way, this stall tactic where they don't want to have to do anything. They're just going to wait until it happens. And when it comes to medical marijuana, she says she might reschedule medical marijuana. She might take it out of the whole heroin LSD Schedule 1 category and move it to the cocaine methamphetamine Schedule 2 category, or maybe to the anabolic steroids Ambien Schedule 3 category. In other words, she'd keep it where it still requires doctors and prescriptions and health insurance and pharmaceutical companies. Then, add to all that the numerous instances where she's displayed less than stellar character and integrity. I mean, FBI investigations into her email, keeping a separate private server, shady dealings at Secretary of State through the Clinton Foundation, that time she survived sniper fire in Bosnia, remember that one? And why is it that Brian Williams had to lose his job for telling tall tales of war to advance his career, but Hillary gets to say she misspoke? Yeah, there needs to be a radical revolution, all right, but there's nothing radical about electing a female leader. Most advanced countries have done so repeatedly. Electing Hillary Clinton, now it would be a symbolic advance for female equality in America, but at the cost of further cementing this third-way pro-corporate Clinton Democrat dynasty hold over what's supposed to be the party in opposition to the excesses of big business. Hell, Hillary Clinton won't even commit to supporting the Equal Rights Amendment. Of course, in this last debate, her latest strategy is to present herself as the grown-up who recognizes that dreams can't really come true. You have to be pragmatic and practical, and you have to bargain with billionaires for what scraps you can scrounge together that don't upset too many of the shareholders. But even by that measure, Hillary isn't the Democratic candidate with the most potential to enact real change. It's Bernie. An elected Hillary isn't going to beat the Republicans by much, if at all. For example, Rubio kicks her ass in most polls. Nobody's going to motivate more GOP turnout than Hillary. They hate her that much. And the progressive base, we're not going to turn out for the corporate Democrat who's currently shitting on Bernie Sanders as a pro-NRA gun nut who wants to repeal Obamacare. Oh, and by the way, Hillary, your attacks on Bernie about his gun stance, let me tell you something. As a liberal who was raised in Idaho, I can tell you that Bernie's stance on guns is going to play a whole lot better with Michigan, Ohio, and Pennsylvania hunters and gun enthusiasts than any of your rhetoric. With no electoral mandate, projecting more of the same like Obama, and a Republican House and maybe a Republican Senate, the next 4 or 8 years of Hillary versus the GOP Congress, that gridlock's going to make Obama's terms with Congress look functional. Oh, Bernie, though, an elected Bernie Sanders would crush the Republican nominee. And don't give me that, well, America won't vote for a socialist line. America, twice by large margins, voted for a black socialist Kenyan Muslim with the middle name Hussein. Remember? And GOP voters won't be as motivated to countervote against him, and some moderates may even defect to him to prevent a Trump or a Cruz. Progressive enthusiasm drives turnout, and down-ticket Democrats will benefit. President Bernie maybe ends up with a Democratic Senate, and maybe a smaller GOP House majority, and an electoral mandate for radical change. As I once said, it's the rigged system, stupid, and only Bernie Sanders wants to take on that rigged system. All right, we're going to take a short break. We'll come back and wind things up here in Toker Talk Radio on the Russ Belville Show, live from Potland, Oregon.
The Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Great websites today need expert web design and development and need to be e-commerce ready and mobile friendly. But building a marketable and profitable website can be an uphill climb. Ready to make your new website or replace your existing website? Think Orange as the new way to get in the black. Orange Hill Development works with Fortune 500 companies and offer the same top quality development service at a fraction of what other providers charge. Brands like Absolute, Carlsberg, and Nestlé trust Orange Hill Development. Find out why you should trust your website with Orange Hill. Contact Orange Hill for a consultation today at orangehilldevelopment.com.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
I also believe we need a fence. The problem is if El Chapo builds a tunnel under the fence, we have to be able to deal with that too.
Okay. Maybe you're high too. NORML stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks may be far less than those posed by legal drugs.
The Russ Belville Show is proudly sponsored by the Marijuana Business Association. The MJBA, called by NBC News the Cannabis Chamber of Commerce, is the fastest growing business association in the fastest growing industry in America. I've been working with the MJBA for years, and I personally invite you to join the MJBA. MJBA also publishes the popular MJ Headline News on Facebook and the MJNewsNetwork.com and Marijuana Channel 1 on YouTube. Visit MJBA.net for more details.
Most of us pirates, we go on vacation to North Dakota, you know, because they've got a town called Argusville. What are you smoking there, boy?
This is Dan Michaels from danmichaelsaudio.com, and you're listening to Radical Russ on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everybody. 57 after the hour, and a quick note about what's happening here in Oregon. The news has broken of two lawsuits against a man who is called the architect or the mastermind of Oregon legalization, Travis Maurer. And one of the lawsuits is, you know, full disclosure, a fellow board member of mine on Portland Normal suing for, $700,000 for business deal gone bad. And slander for calling him a pedophile. Yeah, it's getting pretty serious here. And the other lawsuit is the guys that run the weed blog suing him for financial misappropriations and fraud and all that kind of stuff. Well, naturally, I'm getting dragged into this. And I got a call today from a reporter from our local weekly, Willamette Week, asking if these lawsuits now are going to create divisions that would impede the progress of legalization in Oregon. I just laughed. I said, look, marijuana legalization in Oregon has always been divided. The fact that we passed legalization despite all our divisions means that I'm not too worried about this latest division, because we got the people already on board with legalization, the issue, and whether or not somebody involved with it has some sort of, you know, skeletons in their closet or nefarious activities going on, does not invalidate the 12-point victory we notched in 2014 for the support of marijuana legalization. He also wanted to know what we were up to with Portland Normal, what we're fighting for. I think the number one thing we're fighting for is public use venues, a place where we can smoke pot. What good is a right if you're a tourist or a resident of public housing or someone renting from a anti-pot landlord? What good is your right to possess marijuana if you can't smoke it anywhere? That's like the 15th Amendment giving black people the right to vote, and then the southern states passing poll taxes and literacy tests to make sure they couldn't. We'll see if that quote makes the newspaper. I kind of like that one. But that's all the time we got for today. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back all the rest of this week with brand new shows. We got our Hemp Day Hump Day with Doug Fine coming up tomorrow. Learn the latest about industrial hemp in America and around the world. For everyone here at CannabisRadio.com and Rolla J Studios in beautiful legal Potland, Oregon, I'm Radical Russ. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.